Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber on VoiceAmerica.com's Empowerment Channel, brought to you by 4talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Hey, you know what? I got to say one thing. Last week we had the amazing Joel Zwick on, and I could have had him on for like, 6 weeks. Maybe five weeks and 6 days with a day of rest, because yesterday I spent the entire day in a jumpy house, princess jumpy house, with a water slide because it was my older daughter's birthday, and I am exhausted from that party. I didn't even get in the jumpy house, which I'm very sad about because it was beautiful. I must say, my lawn is now completely soaked because the water has drenched it. But we had Joel Zwick, and we talked about amazing things. We had a lot of fun, and I want to do one shout-out. There's a buddy of mine named Jim Meskimen, and Jim Meskimen is probably one of the most preeminent entertainers I've had the chance to be around. You can Google him. He does the unbelievable impressions, and he is now on America's Got Talent. And he will be, I think it's this week, he'll be on this week, probably. By the time this airs, he would have already been on. But go check him out. Jim Meskimen. Go to YouTube. He's freaking hilarious, and he's brilliant, and he's on America's Got Talent, and he needs to really you need to check him out. But this week, I'm having on – we talk about funny, and we'll talk about it. But I did this show a long time ago when I met this gentleman, and I just had a blast, and some of my greatest memories are from that. And, we've sort of connected over the years and stayed in touch, and he wrote this great book called The Hidden Tools of Comedy and this serious business of being funny, because it is a serious business. We talk about it all the time. And I wanted to bring him on because it was sort of like my foundation of starting to work, and I worked with him. And I want to talk to him. I want to talk about his book. I want to talk about his career, which is huge. And we'll get going. So this is the amazing Steve Kaplan. Are you there, buddy?
I am here. What an intro.
I would have drums
myself. Go ahead.
I would have drums. If I had drums, I would do an entire drum roll for you. Or I would do like a drum circle, like a Robert Bly sort of drum circle, and we can like become men.
I am so into that.
I love it. Hey, so what's been going on, man? We haven't, like, last time I actually saw you, I think it was when I was doing Beauty and the Beast in L.A. Wasn't that it?
I think we ran into each other in Century City. Somewhere.
Yeah.
I ran past you, and I was working at HBO at the time, and you were doing Beauty and the Beast, and since that time, I've taken this thing that I've always done, which is, teach actors and now writers about comedy, and it's taken me around the world. I've gone to Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland. I just came back from Kiev, and basically what we do is we spend a day or 2 days, or in Kiev it was 4 days. We just talk about comedy, how it works, why it works, what's going on when it doesn't work, and most importantly, how can you fix it when it doesn't work. And so
exactly. And the cool thing is Kiev in itself is funny. I mean, just saying that.
Chicken Kiev.
Yeah, Chicken Kiev. Let me tell people what you've done. So everybody knows. I mean, I know you, but you know, Steve is you know, one of the industry's most respected. I'm reading his bio, which is on the web. Respected and sought after experts on comedy. You know, the artists he's taught and directed or produced have won Oscars, Emmys, Golden Globes, and WGA awards. By the way, you need to coach me because I want one of those.
Okay.
In addition to having taught at UCLA, NYU, and Yale, Steve created the HBO Workspace and the HBO New Writers Program, which is huge. He's served as a consultant to such companies as DreamWorks, Disney. Is it Aardman?
Aardman Animation.
HBO and others. You have to tell me what they are. I probably know them. And we talked about the book, The Hidden Tools of Comedy. What's Aardman Animation?
You've seen Chicken. You know, they do animated movies like Chicken Run, and it's all action photography. Chicken Run, they did Wallace and Gromit, Pirates. And it's brilliant. I went to their studios, and they basically shoot about half a minute a day. And that's a great day if they can shoot half a minute. And they manipulate these plastic models. It's amazing.
It's like the old, you know, it's like the old claymation stuff, like the Rudolph thing. Is that how they do it?
Right. Well, it's a lot more complicated than that. I mean, they have these beautiful plastic models in these sets, and they just basically shoot a frame at a time, and like a 5-second sequence might take them 2 days, might take them the better part of a week.
Oh my God!
Very exact, and you have to be very OCD to be into that line of work.
Yeah, I couldn't. It would be too much. I'm just like, hire somebody to draw it, you know, or better yet, get some dude in a chicken suit.
Right. Exactly. But they're brilliant guys, and I went over there. Yeah. They're based in Bristol, in the UK, and I went over there and talked about comedy for about a day, and toured their studios, worked with their interns and assistants. It's kind of a wacky life.
How did it transform? Because you and I worked together in a show in New York.
Theaterworks
USA, and you know, one of the things I do, Steve, is that you know the show. Although the show's about you know what we're doing and what people are you know what the next project is and all that kind of stuff. It's about you know how did you start? And because a lot of what I have, you know, I have non entertainment listeners, people in the entertainment field. I have people that follow you know entertainment as well. And so what I want to give people is a behind the scenes thing that they're not going to get. From, you know, like Extra, you know, I know all the guys at Extra, I love them, Mario and my friends are the producers over there, but, you know, that's like gossip and the news on the town and who's doing blood and what movie's coming out. This is, you know what? You really want to learn about this. You want to know what people don't know. Come and listen to the show. And, you know, so TheaterWorks USA, guys, is where I got my equity card. Not with the show that I did with Steve. I did another one with them. I toured. It was me and four other people in a minivan, and I toured around the country for 3 months wearing a purple Dr. Denton. Not in the van, actually in the show. That would have been strange. But and then Steve and I ended up doing a show called Class Clown, which was – I mean, I learned a lot from you, man. And how did you transition from that to doing what you're doing you know, with HBO when I saw you and then into what you're doing now? What was the transition?
Well, you know, I think the story is, in terms of a career, it's not what you do, but it's how you recover from what you don't. You know, it's not the falling down, it's the getting back up. And, you know, what success is falling down 4 times, but getting up 5 times. So when we worked together, I was running a not-for-profit theater company in New York called Manhattan Punchline. A lot of great people came out of Punchline, like you know, David Crane, who did Friends, and Steve Scroven, who was executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. A lot of great people. But the thing about not-for-profit is it's exactly that. It's not-for-profit. So for about 13 years, I made no money. And we were always broke. We had a lot of fun, but we were always broke. So after we were broke to the point where we couldn't be more broke, I went to L.A., and I walked into a guy's office, and I said, you know, I do this comedy thing. Maybe it could be useful for you. And the important thing to know about that is that I just didn't walk into the office. He was the president. At the time, he was the head of programming of HBO. And
nice.
I called him up, left a message. Called him up, left a message. Now, the story, you know, the success story or the empowerment story is that you don't just call up once or twice and, okay, he didn't return my phone call. I guess he doesn't want to talk to me. You simply call up again and call up again and leave a message and leave a note and don't get upset or angry that they don't call you back. You just are relentless, but without being obnoxious. Relentless without obnoxiousness is the key. And eventually, his secretary got on the phone and says, you know, he really wants to talk to you. That was on, like, the 14th phone call.
Right.
And we got in, and I went to him, and I said, Chris, you remember me? We went to college together. And he said, well, you forget we also went to high school together.
Wow.
So and I had forgotten that. So the other thing is that you don't know who's going to get you your next job. It could be the guy who you filched French fries from in the Ratskeller, you know, at Hofstra University.
Yes.
So I pitched in this idea and
this is where I went to school, by the way. You know that.
You went to school at Hofstra?
Yeah, and the Ratskeller. And I ate downstairs in that dark and dingy place.
Wait a second. When did you go to Hofstra? Because I went to Hofstra. That's my alma mater.
How about that? I graduated in 1988.
I graduated shortly before then. Just shortly. Just.
Steve, are you kidding me? After all these years, I.
Well, by shortly I mean 1973.
But no, I get that. But I mean, I had no idea you went to Hofstra.
I know. Francis Ford Coppola went to Hofstra. It was.
I know.
A great, great place.
We gotta talk about that later.
Where was I? I was talking about what you do. And so I talked to him. I pitched this idea. He walked me down the hall. I pitched that idea to another guy. And eventually they did the HBO New Writers Program, which went for a couple of years. And it discovered Will Sheffer, who did Big Love for them. And then after a couple of years, they said, you know something? We don't need to discover new writers. They come to us. So why don't you start the HBO Workspace, which was a live performance venue in Los Angeles where people could perform and do their shows in front of HBO executives. And they ran that for, I think about 5 or 10 years. And eventually a lot of the entertainment companies in Los Angeles are doing that. There's a Comedy Central stage now. There's a Showtime stage. And they got a lot of great people out of that. Nia Vardalos did a one-person show, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that later became that big hit movie. So,
which our guest last week directed. Joel Zwick directed that.
Oh, that's right. Which I love, which was brilliant. And at the time I was doing the HBO Workspace, I was doing it in partnership with a couple of talent managers. And they said to me, why don't you become a talent manager? And I went, okay. That was not a good idea on my part because, I was a terrible talent manager. You know, I hated calling up, people and being told, no, we're not going to take your project. We're not going to take your client. And, when you did get your client's job, they would do things like saying, well, thanks. You know, Steve, I like you as a person, but it was like getting broken up with every week by a girlfriend.
Right.
So I'm there. I'm kind of in the beginning of 2000. I'm kind of adrift. I'm kind of going, well, I don't want to be a talent manager. I've always been creative. I've always, you know, helped people develop writing and performing careers. And so a guy came to me. He was working with Robert McKee at the time. And he said, you know, I think you could do for comedy what Robert McKee does for story. Robert McKee goes all over the world doing these story seminars. And I said, really? How would we monetize that? How would we capitalize that? And he said to me, I will fund it. I will start you off. And I told my wife about this, and she goes, bullshit, because, you know, who does that? But there's this great guy, Derek Christopher, who saw something in what I did and took it out to the wider world, and that's what I've been doing ever since. And that's where the book comes out of.
Well, I love it. The hidden tools of comedy. Let's do this. I have to take my first break. So
okay.
I want to continue this because I want to talk to you about a lot of other stuff when I get back. So hey, listen, we're gonna be right back with Steve Kaplan. This, folks, is what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I mean when I get back. Hey, listen, stay with us. This is James Barber. Stay tuned. Don't eat a donut. We'll be right back.
Elevate your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals, log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4talent.com, and you can too.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. I am talking about the hidden tools of comedy with the amazing Steve Kaplan. And, you know, the thing is that nobody's going to know about them. We're not going to tell you about comedy. Why? Because they're hidden. They're very, you got to dig. Basically, what Steve was telling me during the break is that the book just basically says go get a shovel, and there's a map in it.
No.
Somewhere around the world, I'm kidding you. You got to go to like Kiev and dig a hole. No, well, I'm not kidding. I'm totally kidding. So we were talking about how it led you to, and folks, this is, remember, we talked about this all the time. I talk about you have to be an entrepreneur in this business, right? You know, so often we sit and we're like, oh, well, okay, you want me to do that job? Okay, I'll do this. Okay, I'll do that. But the thing that you did, Steve, and is you pushed. And not to be an asshole about it, but you have to move yourself along, because unless somebody knows you're there, it's like selling yogurt. You open a yogurt store, and unless people know that your yogurt store is there, they're not going to come and buy your yogurt.
Well,
it could be the best yogurt in the world.
The problem is most people sit there wanting somebody to give them the keys to a yogurt store.
Yes.
And the real key to success is to take the action. There's a guy, Gerald Mundus, who wrote this book, Making Friends with Money, I think it's called. And one of the things he writes about it is take the, the action is the success. The result is out of your hands. And so many people don't take the action. They sit around, they think about it, I'm going to do it, but they don't do it. And, I've done a dozen things, in my life. And every one of the things that I did, both successful and unsuccessful, have led me to this place where I'm going around the world. I've written a book. I'm teaching. I'm lecturing. I'm doing consultations, and everything has led me there. It's like the buffalo. There's no wasted parts. We've made use of everything. And even my setbacks have led me here, because the setbacks taught me lessons that led to my success.
Me too, no question. So when you decided to write the book, because I mean, I imagine that not only, and maybe you haven't, but I mean, so often, not only in the entertainment world, but I know a lot of very, very high net worth individuals who are business people, and they're asked to speak all the time, they're asked to talk all the time, and so often, you find them and they're very, very stoic. And I would bet that this kind of material would help them as well. So when you decided to write the book, what was the impetus? Was it just, okay, now I'm going to write a book, or was it somebody asked you to write a book?
Well, for years people have been telling me, why don't you write this book? Because I've been teaching a version of this course for many years. First, just to actors, and now we've. And kind of branched out and done it for TV writers and screenwriters and producers and executives. And so everybody's always told me, why don't you write a book? But writing the book was an arduous task, because, when you're up there and you're talking and you're performing, because giving a lecture is a performance. You're doing it, and you're in the moment, and you're interacting with the audience. But when you sit down by yourself and you write a sentence, and then you start to look at that sentence and say, oh, my God, that's not the most perfect sentence. So writing was actually a difficult task. What I eventually had to do...
I lost you guys.
I had to just say the book, and then I had somebody transcribe it. And we transcribed a lot of my lectures and seminars. And then I did what I do best, which is edit. So I tried to take myself out of the writing equation in writing the book, and I just was able to edit the book as though somebody else wrote it, and I was able to go, no, I don't like, oh, that's a good sentence, we'll keep that. But having done the workshop many, many times, people would always say, Where's your book? So,
right.
So eventually I had a friend who was published by Michael Wiese Productions. They're the people who also publish the Chris Vogler book, The Hero's Journey, and the Blake Snyder book, Save the Cat. And I went to him and I pitched the book, and they loved it because the book is... What the book tries to do is it tries to tell you that the myth of you have to be born funny is a myth, and it's not true, because, you know, no one is born funny. No baby is born and, you know, gets slapped on the butt and turns to the doctor and says, hey, and, you know, a funny thing happened to me on the way through the fallopian tubes. Nobody's born funny. So comedy is an art form like anything else, and what I tried to do is I tried to take it beyond funny, take it beyond what makes people laugh, because laughter, as you know, as a performer, performing hundreds of shows, hundreds of times, laughter is very subjective. Some audiences will laugh at something in the very same exact thing. Another audience will just, you know, sit on their hands. So what we try to do in the book is we try to get beyond funny and to what's comedy. What is comedy? And what we talk about is that comedy is what tells the truth about people. And if you tell the truth about people, you may laugh at it, somebody else may not, somebody else may just smile. If you tell the truth about people, you're working in a comedic environment, and comedy will come of it. And we talk about, you know, the hidden tools of comedy, the idea that that in comedy you're not trying to make somebody the most exaggerated, you're not trying to make somebody the most foolish. What you're trying to do is you're trying to create non-heroes, simply somebody who lacks a skill or skills, using the idea of straight line, wavy line, which is that there is no such thing as a straight man in a comic, but comedy is a teamwork dynamic between somebody who's creating a problem and is blind to the problem, and somebody who's struggling with the problem, but because they can't solve the problem, because they're a non-hero, they're still struggling, so it creates a comic moment.
And you know what's interesting about that, to interrupt you, is that, you know, when I look at, I have two questions. Well, one's a statement, then it's a question for you. You know, when I look at comics and great comic actors, people always used to say, look, comedy is much harder than drama. And I actually think that that's true. I don't know what your take on, but when you look at the great comic actors who have done sitcoms and, you know, stand-up comics, you know, the geniuses of this world, and they can transcend easily into a drama with accessing pain and things like that. But it seems to me so technical in many ways, the skill for comedy, that it's much harder. What's your thought on that old thing? Comedy's harder than drama.
Well, I definitely believe that comedy's harder than drama, and I definitely think that you can be a great comedian and do drama, but it's much harder for somebody who is a dramatic actor to just segue into comedy. And you see much fewer examples of, I can't think of the last time that Charles Bronson, you know, to use as somebody from my youth, Charles Bronson did a great comedy, but I think of, just off the top of my head, Don Rickles, funny guy, and yet in Martin Scorsese's Casino, he played this great, mobbed up casino manager.
Absolutely.
And you see examples of that over and over again, that to play comedy is to play, to play the truth of people. And drama is kind of People think that comedy is the exaggeration, comedy is the lie, drama tells the truth. But actually, drama is a beautiful lie. Drama is the lie. I mean, would that we were as good-looking and as soulful and as strong as the people we see in dramas or in soap operas. Drama helps us dream about what we can be, but comedy helps us live with who we are.
Right, exactly. And you know what's interesting? Because the question I was going to ask you was, when I look at comedy, and I've been a fan of it, Bill Cosby and Don Rickles, and all the way up, to present day and the great comedians of now. The difference between guys that are going out there and they're like, my F and this and this and F and blah 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 and this and that, and it's not really about humanity. It's about shock comedy.
Right.
And, the thing that was cool about Bill Cosby is I remember him talking about his kids or when he was a kid, and he goes, I want to get the ticket, being at the dentist with his, Novocaine in his lip. Everybody's experienced something like that. And so what's your feeling on that as like a connoisseur and a guru of that, of shock comedy, I call it, I just made that up. I don't know what it's called in the industry, versus coming at it from humanity,
Well, I mean, there's a certain amount of success you can get by dealing in dick jokes. I mean, there's a certain response you get by shocking an audience by using the word fuck or the word dick. And in my classes, my lectures, I'll throw in the odd fuck or dick just to get a reaction because there's a certain shock value. But you can't create a 2-hour narrative.
Right.
Based on that, and so that's what I'm basically working on. I'm working on it's not just what makes a great joke, because you can have a stand-up career in which you're basically just making fun of other people.
Right.
Andrew Dice Clay. I mean,
exactly.
who's actually not a bad guy, but he had this character that kind of overtook him that was this stupid, racist guy, and he got a lot of success, and he kind of rode that for a little while, but he's, Andrew is actually this nice Jewish boy from Queens, but you
remember what happened with Saturday Night Live. I mean, he was exactly what I was going to say to you, is that, he got on the Saturday Night Live, and there was so much concern about him, using, expletives, and, it was like you could see him so nervous that he was going to slip, and, I remember that. I remember that night because I watched it because I thought, he's funny for what he does. Listen, we got to take one more break because we have a couple seconds here before this thing. This is fascinating. I love this because this is what makes art art. It's not just I'm going to throw spaghetti on the wall and see if it sticks. There's actually a plan, folks. There's actually work that you have to do if you want longevity and if you want success. And we're going to talk more with Steve when we come back. Hey, stay tuned for more Star Power Hour. We'll be right back. Do not eat a donut.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Cours de Grace, the Heart of Grace, is an uplifting program hosted each week by Maria Rodriguez. Each show is made up of pieces of wisdom that you can use in your everyday life, moving ever closer to transformation through inspiration. Your heart knows there is more to come. More beauty, more joy, and more truth. All you need to do is tune in. Maria will help you move toward who you really want to be, becoming a more active co-creator in your world. Cours de Grace is heard live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back, guys. This is awesome. I am so excited. You know, Steve, do you remember one of the songs from The Jerk Will Never Be a Shadow Master?
Oh, my
Shadow
God.
Master.
I remember all of those.
Oh, my gosh. So the show that we did was called Class Clown, and it was for TheaterWorks USA, and we did it at the Promenade Theater. I called it my off-Broadway debut, and it was about this arcade. I played a guy named Change Guy, who was a guy who was a little challenged with his intellect. I played I think I played three characters, the teacher,
right,
the arcade change guy, and I played the grandpa. I felt like the guy from
right. The lotto ticket.
Yeah, and also we had Peter Michael Moreno, we had so many great people in
Tony
that
Picano,
show.
Tony Picano, who later went on to star in Weeds.
Correct. Jack Plotnick and one of our guys went on to do the Bourne movies. Did you know that?
Which one was that?
He took over for Jack. Didn't he take over for Jack?
Oh, I think you're right.
Maybe, or he played. He played. I can't remember who he played, but he was one of the guys in the Bourne movies. He was like one of the agents. But anyway, you know. And here I am. I'm doing my radio show out of California. You know, all these guys have amazing. Anyway, we had a blast. It was so much fun. But that set the stage with comedy, and I learned, you know, because my whole thing, we always tried to be fun at home and have a lot of fun, but what I learned from that was that, you know, either being over the top, that only works a little bit,
right,
you know? It was honing that down, and, you know, I've played these dark, brooding characters my whole life. That's been my career, but there's that funny side of me that you know, gets let out of the Urinetown side of me, or the comic side of me, or the web series side of me. So I love what we're talking about here. So continue on. We were talking about like how Andrew Dice Clay, you know, it was like almost like a one-trick pony in many ways, and his character overtook him, and he was sort of stuck, right?
Well, you know, his crowd started to be people who really hated foreigners. You know, he had one joke. You know, I can't do the voice, but he's, you know, this Queens guy, this my cab driver, it was color urine. You know, and what he started to get was these crowds that laughed, not because he told the truth about somebody or himself. They laughed because they hated minorities. And,
right.
And you can't build on that. You can't build a career on that. And it quickly dissipated because he didn't know where to go with that, or he couldn't take it anywhere because it's based on hate. You know, comedy is based on, you know, loving people, but without forgiving them, without, you know, whitewashing their flaws and their foibles and their weaknesses. You know, you love them because of their weaknesses, because when it all comes down to it, comedy is just making fun of humans, and we're human too. So you have to share your own truth.
Right. And that's what was so. That's what Rickles was. I remember all those roasts. You know, the Dean Martin roasts or Rickles roasts, and you know, and they would rip each other apart. But you knew that they loved each other so much.
Right.
You know, it was brilliant.
Or even if they didn't, they were being very funny about it.
Right, exactly.
But I remember when we worked on Class Clown, I was brought in at the last minute because the original director and writer were making it. They couldn't figure out how to make it funny. The play was called Class Clown, and they couldn't make it. They couldn't figure out where the comedy was because it was about illiteracy and learning how to read and being honest
right.
about it. And when I came into the process, I was the class clown, and I was. The lonely kid who used comedy to make up for whatever I thought I lacked. And I simply started to put in my own truth into the script because I knew that it was truthful and it would, even if people didn't find it funny, it would be honest and comedy comes from honesty.
Yeah. That's amazing. So then, you know, when you talked about the book in terms of, you know, you're doing these things like, where's the book? That's the same thing I talk about with concert artists or any, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur. I not only have, you know, the radio show, I've got my own production company, I've got other businesses that I do. But it's about having, at the end of the day, I talk about this too, doing art in a vacuum. Okay, great. But we also have to make a living by it, you know.
Right.
Peter Scolari gave me this great book when we were doing The Foreigner. I talked about it. I did a whole series on it called The War of Art. Not The Art of War, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, who wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance. And he talks about art and writing as not as a hobby. It's not a hobby for you know, this is our profession.
Right.
And you have to sustain yourself, you know, if you want to keep going, you have to make money, right, doing it. So how can you do, if I'm doing a concert, I want to be able to have a CD to sell because people are like, oh my gosh, I want to listen to it in my car. Okay, great. So here's your CD. Great. I want to wear a t-shirt that has this great logo on it. Great. Here's it, you know. So it's not shameless self-promotion, although, I mean, it is promotion because this is what we do. But it's also allowing your art to go beyond that little live event, you know. And when you talked about that, about having the book, people wanted more. So when you decided to write it, what was the, you know, what was the impetus? I mean, how did you sit down? What was it like? Was it like, okay, these are the things that people need most, or were you coming from your own vision of this is what I think people need most?
Well, at first I resisted writing the book because I kept on thinking, why would somebody want to come and spend a weekend with me and pay $400 if they can buy the book for $27? And so for a long time, I was hesitant about just putting it all down in a book. And because, you know, there's a certain extent where you have something and it's kind of artisanal. It's handcrafted and you don't know how to mass manufacture it. But
right.
Then I came to realize that people wanted to take something away. They would say, so what else do you have? What can I take away after this weekend? And I realized that there was a need that people wanted, you know, it's like going to Disneyland and you take a souvenir. They wanted something to keep the memory of what you told them alive. And so what I started to do was I just started to figure out what are the things I want to talk about in terms of demythologizing, that's not even a word, taking the myths away from comedy, and then what can you do with this information? How can you take this information and make your script better, make your television show better, make your performance better? So we started from there. So at one point the book was going to be 400, 500 pages long, and the publisher said, stop, you're driving us crazy. Don't do that. So then we just kind of focus, what do I really want to talk about? I want to talk about what these hidden tools are, not a method, not, you know, because there's not one method for making comedy. That would be ridiculous, and it's not true. But if you're working on something and it's, you know, it's not working, or there are things that aren't as strong about it, what are the tools that you have that you might not know about that you can apply to your script or your performance or your movie?
So it talks not only about performance of comedy, it talks about writing comedy and all aspects of it.
Exactly. It's, you know, comedy is a unified art form. I mean, it's the only art form that requires a unified physiological response from a large group of strangers. I mean, no other art form in the world requires that. You know, if you're doing a play and you've got 1,000 people in the audience, you want close to 1,000 people to laugh at that line. And you don't see that in any other art form. You wouldn't expect to see 1,000 people watching Streetcar Named Desire to all weep at the same moment. You wouldn't expect to see 500 people in a museum to all gasp at the same moment. But comedy requires a unified response, and it's a unified art form, which is why in comedy you'll see many instances of performers also being the writers, also being the directors. And you don't see that as much in drama.
No, you're absolutely right.
Clint Eastwood might direct the films he's in, but he's not writing them. But right. You have Woody Allen, you have Billy Crystal, you have Steve Martin, you have Charlie Chaplin, you have this long list of creators because the art of comedy is not just how do you perform it, it's a way of looking at the world. It's a way of looking at the world and accepting the world the way it is and accepting the way people are the way they are and finding the hope in it. If you boil everything down, comedy's about an ordinary guy or gal. Jackie Gleason used to call him a moke. An ordinary moke struggling against insurmountable odds without many of the required skills and tools with which to win, yet never giving up hope. If you have that paradigm working, you're creating, you're in a comic universe. And if you take any of those elements away, it's not that you've made bad comedy, you're creating drama. Think of a situation in which somebody's struggling against insurmountable odds and it seems hopeless, you've created a dramatic moment. So we talk about using these tools not only just to make things funny, but to also increase or decrease the comedic value in a scene or a script.
This is brilliant. I mean, it's common when you think about it, it's common sense, but you've broken it down so much. So let me do this. The book's on Amazon, right?
It is on Amazon. The Hidden Tools of Comedy, you can also get it on our website, which is www.kaplancomedy.com, K-A-P-L-A-N, comedy.com. And people can get in touch with me at steve@kaplancomedy.com.
That's what I was going to ask, because, because you're going around the world doing all these things, it's like, I want people to have access to this. So it's at kaplancomedy.com. They can find you there. They can find all the information about it.
Right. And we do lectures, we do seminars, we do workshops all around the world. We do consultations. We work with producers and directors and writers on their scripts.
Great. This is brilliant. Listen, we have one more break we have to take. Then I want to come up and just close out with you and talk about a couple of things that I still have some questions about that I think our listeners would love to hear about. So let's take this quick break, folks. Hey, listen, don't forget, we had the Miranda Sings event that aired this past weekend on voiceamerica.tv. And, we're contemplating reopening it up because we had a great response for that one day, and we may just open it up again. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We'll be posting all about that that pay-per-view event that's going to be on voiceamerica.tv. Also, guys, you can follow me on Twitter. Don't forget, @TheJamesBarber, @TheJamesBarber. Steve, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, SK Comedy, @SK Comedy.
All right, great. So follow Steve. And stay tuned, guys. We're going to be right back with our last segment with the amazing Steve Kaplan. Stay tuned. This is James Barber for the Star Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Everybody has a dream. For some, that dream is to become an actor, comedian, or dancer. Others dream of signing a recording contract, being on Broadway, or directing their own film. Now those dreams can come true, because on 4Talent.com, we turn the spotlight on talent. On 4Talent.com, everyone can participate in online contests and festivals. Log on and get into exclusive interviews with industry experts, create personal scrapbooks and photo albums, plus communicate with other members who share your passions. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're an artist or a fan, sign up today. Membership is free. Join today, and you just might be one of the people who get to say,
I got my break on 4Talent.com, and you can too.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, guys, welcome back to our final segment with Steve Kaplan on this week's Star Power Hour on VoiceAmerica.com's Empowerment Channel, brought to you by what? ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. It's a place where you can go and socialize about the arts and entertainment world on the internet. That's correct, www.fortalent.com. That's F-O-R, talent.com. If you're looking for talent, come to us. I just made that up. How do you like that?
Very good.
So, hey, I know, what am I going to do? Sometimes, you know, I was in Korea for 2 months. I was directing a show in Korea, and I couldn't get any guests on because the time is like, you know, anytime I'd call somebody in the States, it would be like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Korea, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning in the States. I'm like,
right.
So I had to do the shows. I did the shows myself. I recorded them in the studio on my own. And
what were you doing in Korea besides trying to, make peace between the North and the South?
I was. You know, I went there and I said, hey, listen. Call me Dennis Rodman. I'm tall. I played a little basketball in my early days, but I can sing you a song. No, I was directing, you know, I did A Tale of Two Cities on Broadway. And the musical theater scene over there is massive. There are 11 multimillion-dollar musicals running, Broadway musicals running, including European musicals that have come over simultaneously.
Oh, my God.
Most of them in Korean. It's huge. So, like Robert Johansson, he directed me at Paper Mill Playhouse. He's a huge director over there. He directed 3 shows this season, including Rebecca, which I was supposed to do on Broadway, which is a huge hit over there, as it should be. Incidentally, guys, I don't know if you saw, just on a side note, the guy that made up the fake investor, and everybody was pointing fingers at our amazing producer, Ben Sprecher. Well, guess what? It was just hit the newspapers last week. That guy, Mark Houghton, pled guilty of defrauding our producers of the money that he said that he didn't. So he pled guilty, and he pled guilty for another thing that he was involved in.
I had no idea that you were in that you were involved in that show. What a story that was!
Yeah, it's crazy, and you know, and Ben's still going. They're still pushing, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a shame because so many people were affected. I mean, hundreds of people were affected by what happened, and there's another part to it. I just want to focus on all the good stuff, but I wanted to put that out there because Ben Sprecher, he's a good guy and really, really trying to get the show going, and this sort of vindicates him on that end. So I was in Korea. I was directing A Tale of Two Cities, and it was a pretty amazing experience. I mean, I joke because I have these bright yellow Nike shoes that I got, and when I came back, they're like, gee, my God, they're neon. And I'm like, well, I walked into Itaewon to try to find shoes, and I'm 6'4". Every time I'd walk in, I'd have these Korean, shop owners literally laughing at me, going, no, 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 no. There's no way. So finally, I walked into a store with my buddy Chris Choi, who's the producer of the show over there, and this guy goes, yeah, yeah, okay, one. And he points to the wall, and it's these bright yellow Nike sneakers. So that's what I bought over there. And you know what else is huge over there, Steve? Comedy. Comedy is massive. It's massive, the arts and entertainment world. So anyway, that's what I was doing over there. So I ended up doing my show basically by myself, which was fun anyway because I can talk a mile a minute and I can talk about anything. But here's the question for you, which is it's sort of a personal question, but it's also a question that may work out there. So, you know, when I did Carousel on Broadway, right? And then I did Urinetown. And it was amazing. I did the original workshop of Urinetown. And I grew up doing comedy. I mean, my whole family was comedy, but I do the dark brooding. The joke is I'm dark brooding guy because of all the characters I do. But my instincts are I just want to be funny and be an idiot, right? And I've created web series and all these kinds of things that are all comic based. You know, I want to do drama, but I like comedy. So when someone is, say, quote unquote, transitioning or trying to find the comedy within themselves, I'm assuming your book can actually help guide them to find those things that they may not be aware of, which you said earlier. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I would say not aware of. I mean, what they might think is that what's inside of them is other people aren't going to find funny. But what's true is that if you think about getting together with your cousins and your nephews, I mean, whenever you get together with family, you're laughing about the other members of your family, right? You're laughing about your mom and your dad and your uncles, how crazy they are. Well, why do you think that you're not crazy like that? So doing comedy is basically just really about telling the truth about yourself, without justifying or without making excuses. If you just tell the truth about yourself, if you just tell how crazy you are, if you share that with other people, whether it's in a script or it's in a one-person show, you're going to find the comedy in it. I was working with Peter Michael Marino, who was doing a show based upon his disastrous West End musical that flopped. And he was telling me about working on the show, and he was telling me, that the producers did everything wrong, and the choreographer was terrible, and the director was terrible. And my contribution was just to ask him, what were your mistakes? Because if you just do a show about how everybody else screwed you, that's not going to be funny. It's going to be, like your revenge. And that's not funny. But if you talk about how you were an idiot, how the mistakes that you made, how naive you were, and so he kind of took a little bit of that that advice, and his show is this big, huge hit in Edinburgh right now.
Oh, that's great! He's an awesome guy, And he put some posts up on Facebook about your book as well. And you know what? That's what I started to do just on a personal, because I do concerts all over the world, and I did these concerts at Sardi's. And my buddy Hershey Felder said, do it in a small venue, do it in a small atmosphere. And it became like a family. These people keep coming back. It's great. And, I've expanded. But I literally talk about, I have two kids now, and I'm talking about poop. And people love it because it's true and it's real, and it's changing diapers and not knowing what to do. And then, my kid telling me not to sing in the car because the truth of life is what is funny, because everybody's had an experience with it.
Voice in the world, and your kid's telling you not to sing.
It's like, literally, the story is I'm prepping for this holiday concert, and I'm singing, there's no place like home. And she goes, Dada. No sing. She's in the car seat. I'm like, what? She goes, Daddy, no sing. I'm like, but I got it. Dada, no sing. I do it. I was like, all right, go for it. She cracks me up. They're amazing. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I just want to remind people. So Steve Kaplan's book is The Hidden Tools of Comedy, The Serious Business of Being Funny. You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can get it. It's
www.kaplancomedy.com.
Kaplancomedy.com. And folks, I know him because I know who he is. I know his success because I've had the unbelievable pleasure of working with him early in my career. And it set the stage for a lot of things that stayed in my head. And I urge you to go to that website. I urge you to get the book. I urge you, if you have a theater program or a TV program, or you want to work on, something like that, get the book, get him to come to you. And do a workshop with you. Do a presentation with your group or your organization or you personally, because it's tremendous success, and you can see the success of people that have worked with him. So Steve, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. And
well, thank you.
Of course, now that we've reconnected in a good way, I really want to stay in touch, and I'll email you as soon as we're done all the great stuff I've had. So
great.
Guys, thanks so much, guys. This is James Berman, the Star Power, D, my amazing engineer, my friend. Thank you again, and we will talk to you next week for more Star Power Hour. This is James Barber. Log on, tune in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.